I got something with me, as we usually do in this show. We tend to bring something old, something new, something borrowed, and something blue. And a sixpence in her shoe.
No, oh, that's, we did blue. It's it. That was definitely
yes,
blue.
Yes, exactly. So, blue and old and new. So that's a saying, obviously, you're familiar with it. I hear it. It's, I quite like that saying. It's on what every bride should wear at her wedding. But it can also be applied to our show, except for a sixpence in her shoe. I don't wear high heels and shit. But I saw the relationship. I started thinking of that saying. And I did bring something old and something new for this week as well. Since the versatility of O Children and Toby we just discussed, I thought to take a band that is old but sounds really new and also sounds different across their whole oeuvre, if that's an English word. So in a couple of shows earlier, I mentioned my friend Dave. He's a big collector of music, all kinds of music, and he basically opened up the world of dark and great music to me. He's also DJing on several occasions, from weddings, here we go again about weddings, but also to squat parties, and that's serious stuff I saw him play at. I was at one of those parties, and he mixed in one of the songs by the famous band Grauzone, the German band. I'm sure listeners that have found our podcast are familiar with the stuff of Grauzone. Maybe it was the song Ice Bear.
I would love that.
That they got, yeah, thanks. Likewise.
That's excellent, yeah.
And the song that we are about to play is on the B-side of the 12-inch of that single, Ice Bear. It's called Film 2. And if you listen to this, and also if you mix it into a recent acid and techno set, that's where my reference to Dave comes from, you will not hear, if you don't know this song already, you will not hear it. It was made in 1981. It is unbelievable. We talked about Kraftwerk and all the other influential bands that we had on the show. But this one is unbelievable. It may be even more ahead of its time of everything we discuss right now. It's basically like a pure techno track, but only from 1981.
Wow.
Still holds up today, I think. I bet you that no young people dancing away at a festival would pick this one out as an oldie.
Yeah, you kept me curious.
This is Film 2 by Grauzone. You're bouncing your head already?
You weren't kidding.
No, right? I feel like skipping work tomorrow and go to a rave right now, even though it's a Monday night.
Yeah, man. You know I'm a bit of a music nut, but I cannot tell BPM just by listening to a song, but it feels like this is at least 135, 140 BPM, which is actually a tempo that was only used in house music after, you know, the first 5 years, because everything in the beginning was much slower, was like 115, 120 BPM in the beginning days of house.
Definitely.
So this is actually even way of ahead of its time in terms of house music.
100% have to agree. That new beat stuff from Belgium was quite slow. Early house was slow. This was like 1995 when techno really came up. I can't remember, but...
Cool stuff. I really like the crescendo at the end. It's sort of just when you, usually with many songs, like when you're halfway, you've heard everything, right?
Yeah.
And then it just repeats some more, and they put down the volume, they break it down a bit, and then they build it back up again, and then you're done. This song continues to change right until the end, and it sort of, you know, moves forward, like it moves at you. I really liked it. It's a great experience.
And also talking about music, because that's what we love best, I think. We also usually have a part about film, especially about the connection between music and film. And we didn't prepare as much this week for the pilot, but there is obviously film too in the title. So that made me think about mentioning this. So if you continue to listen to us, you will definitely find a lot of interesting movie links in our show as well.
All right. Great. Actually, I only know that one song by Grauzone, which is Ice Beer, which is also a very nice song because it's about the sadness that is reflected, is in the text is reflected in the music.
Yeah.
But I always felt like it was more like poetry with music. And then this song turns out that they can also, you know, deliver a complete experience without using lyrics for it. So
very interesting observation. I never thought about it like that, but you're absolutely right.
Very interesting choice.
I love that comment. It feels like an adventure, even though it's
right?
without lyrics.
Yeah.
So it's poetry without lyrics. Yeah, basically. Yeah, I love it.
All right. So moving on.
Yes, let's do so.
We had a discussion the other day. We were talking about new romantic subcultural movement, and Gove, you said it wasn't exactly clear to you what this what it was or where it came from.
I remember.
So yeah. So I have done some digging because you're my friend, and obviously I wouldn't want to keep you in the dark, and I've been able to link it to a great song.
Can't wait.
The song that we're going to be playing first, and then I'll dive into it a bit.
Sounds good.
Is a song by Spandau Ballet.
Yes.
And this is actually, Spandau Ballet is a band that, we took our time actually playing anything by them. Obviously, they came out of nowhere, and they came really fast when they launched their first album. The first three singles that they released were each of them top 20 hits. And the first two singles from their debut album were To Cut a Long Story Short and Freeze.
Yes, that's with the white album cover. I love that. Yeah,
exactly. So this song that we're going to be playing today is Muscle Bound. And it was released as the third single from their debut album, Journeys to Glory. It was their third consecutive hit in the UK, but it also charted up to number 32 in the Netherlands. Here it is, Muscle Bound by Spandau Ballet.
Infected Classic. Smell of books and hot thoughts around us. Death is the land.
So what I like about this song is that it's so completely unapologetically romantic. Tough is the leather that's strapped to my skin. Work till you're muscle bound actually means that you work so hard that eventually your muscles become so big that you have trouble moving, right? That's when you're muscle bound. So yeah, it's very, very romantic and macho in a way. The funny thing is, these guys really met in high school. The first version of this band was formed in 1976 by Gary Kemp and Steve Norman. And already October that year, Tony Hadley also joined as a vocalist. And they were really inspired by the post-punk underground dancing. And you know what the inspiration was for them to start making music, Gary and Steve? They were seeing the Sex Pistols in Islington.
Ah, here we are with the Sex Pistols thing again.
Yep. Nice. So the Sex Pistols inspired both these guitarists to form this band. And they emerged at the start of the 1980s as the house band for the Blitz Kids. And the Blitz Kids were a group of people who frequented the Tuesday club night at the club called the Blitz in Covent Garden in London. This is really where the new romantic subcultural movement started. So, crucially, the club, the Blitz, lay between two art colleges, and so it became a testbed for student fashion designers. For instance, Stephen Jones and John Galliano, many others who went on to become famous in fashion in their own right. But other frequent attendees at the Blitz Club Tuesday nights included Marilyn, well known for the single Calling Your Name, Boy George, with whom Marilyn would actually later share a squat together,
yes.
Martin Degville, the later frontman of Zig Zig Sputnik. And the club night organizers on the Tuesday night were Steve Strange and Rusty Egan, who also formed Visage as the lead singer and the drummer, respectively. And those Tuesday nights at the Blitz were special. So we can definitely be sure that they were not working till they were muscle-bound because they were clubbing at Tuesday night.
What a great idea to go clubbing on a Tuesday night. It's been so long ago since I did that.
Right. So actually at the Blitz on these Tuesday nights, Steve Strange was the club's greeter and Rusty Egan was the DJ. And together they co-hosted this exclusive night. The night had no name, and they did not advertise them. It was just word of mouth. There was a very strict dress code at the door, with an emphasis on style. Popular outfits consisted of bizarre homemade costumes and clothing and emphatic makeup, preferring a highly androgynous appearance. The Blitz began making headlines thanks to its outrageous styles of clothes and makeup, for both sexes, by the way. And this was actually well documented by Gary Kemp in his memoirs, which he released in 2009, I Know This Much. And you can also read about it in the book We Can Be Heroes, London Clubland. So basically, this is where the whole movement, the new romantic subcultural movement, started on a Tuesday night with a bunch of kids who were, you know, joined by a bunch of students from fashion schools, all trying to outdo each other in weird and androgynous outfits, wearing makeup and playing this new weird music. really a buzzing hive of creativity that produced this band that would go on to sell over 25 million copies of their albums.
They had great, great success. And I started thinking about the comment you made earlier about it took quite long for us to play something by Spandau Ballet. Maybe it was because after this or the second or third album, they turned quite commercial. But this one, I love it. But the rest of the stuff, maybe it's a more like suited to the commercial stream, with nothing wrong with that, obviously.
Yeah.
But that certainly brought them fame and monies.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And actually, if you think about it, the fact that they had these other two singles out before Musclebound, and another favorite was the fourth single of this album, which was Chant Number One. You'll probably remember that one as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one that's talking about the pressure. It's, you know, it's so many great singles on a debut album. I don't know that many acts that had a debut album that got them, you know, four singles straight into the top 20 in their home market.
Yeah.
And great songs as well. So yeah, definitely something that brings up fond memories and started a really big trend.
Really nice context again. And I hope you're enjoying this as well as you're listening with us and playing this music with us. Going from the creative pool that was going on in that time, if you want to make music and live off music these days, and I'm talking about music with some edge, it's going to be quite a challenge. And the band that we're going to play next, the band is called Soft Kill, not to be confused with The Soft Moon, which is also a really great band. It's a one-man band. No, we're talking about Soft Kill. It's really hard to make it if you got a certain niche and you're going for it. Obviously, you got to tour and do gigs as much as you can and play for a half full or a half empty venues. So it can be a daily struggle to survive for most bands out there, plugging away night after night when on the road and playing gigs. Moreover, a struggle to make a living. And luckily, Spandau Ballet made it, as a great deal of other bands from that time. But for Tobias Graves of Soft Kill, it literally became a matter of life and death. Headed back from a grueling tour and in support of their last album, Tobias' wife went into labor a month early. So that's quite something, going into labor a month early. And after a very tense time and almost losing his wife and child, they managed to pull through together with the three of them and also with the band. So it took some time. And during that time, it was quite challenging time, as I just mentioned. Tobias Graves chose to channel all that he was feeling into writing new material. So the result is that Soft Kill has taken some of the band's personal darkest moments and turned them into their best album to date. It was also quite a journey for these guys and also for Tobias. And the music of Soft Kill, across all albums that they did, even before this tense time, can be described as, well, dramatic. At least, and also intense and without compromise come to mind. The music feels like it means something, each track, and it takes a certain passion and dedication, if you ask me, in order to deliver the music that we're about to listen to, that quality and that intensity. You can hear that there's something behind it. So it's music influenced by a fight to save mother and child, the lasting pains of addiction, because... also, who was struggling with addiction during this time of labor and pregnancy of his wife, and the strain of a life on the road. The album, Savior, the opening song is Swaddle. It makes you feel like there's no tomorrow. It's about life, it's about setback, it's about getting over that setback. So I'll stop talking right now. Please join me in listening to this great track, Swaddle. We'll be right back.
Yeah, it ends like unfinished business, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. So the imagine that the whole album is like this and the whole oeuvre is quite intense. And yeah, maybe it's worthwhile to look up and listen to more of these guys if you're interested. Because if you like this, you're definitely going to like the other stuff that they did.
No, I thought it was great. I really, really enjoyed their sound. The music has a lot of energy. Obviously, the vocals are about as real as it gets. I've been looking up Tobias Grave also, and he's definitely not trying to keep up appearances, let's put it that way.
Real deal, definitely.
Yeah, and he's very open and honest about what he feels. He's not trying to hide anything unpleasant out of sight. But, you know, I think obviously there's cliches about art being inspired by people having hard times. Mm-hmm. Definitely, this guy has seen some hard times, but it's definitely been inspirational for this band because it's beautiful music and very, very powerful. How did you run into these guys, by the way?
Well, I like to listen to some guys from the electro scene in The Hague. Yes, we're going off on the electronic route because The Hague is famous for many things, an international crime court, but as well a very vivid electro scene. And some of these guys, they've grown up now and they're playing records out of the genre that we also love, which is goth, new wave, post-punk stuff.
There we have it. Yes. There we have it. And so finally, once these guys grow up, they learn that there's more than just keyboards, and they turn onto the path of the true faith, which is the faith of darkness and the night.
There may be something there, yes, indeed. There's one guy, he's called Mehdi Rouchich, and he's also primarily a really great visual artist, and I got a painting of him. And Mehdi also has a podcast, or at least a radio show, posted on Mixcloud that's very worthwhile listening to. And I picked it up on there. I can't tell you an interesting story that I discovered it by myself. I just picked it up and asked him, because he's a very approachable guy, what is this? It sounds so powerful and great. And he gave me the track list. And since then, I'm a fan. And it's been maybe three years ago.
Yeah. No, definitely sounds like I need to listen to more of these guys.
Well, yeah. At least you get in touch with some new stuff. And that's how we discover music, probably, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right, totally. So one of the things that people haven't discovered listening to this podcast is the fact that we're actually a trio.
Yeah.
There's another guy, which you're not hearing on this pilot episode. We call him JW. And JW is going to be present in the next show. And one of his favorite tracks is something that I want to end this show with as a little, let's call it a bonus track. We usually try and do about 6 tracks in a show, so this one would make 5. And we were having a discussion very recently about a band called Rose of Avalanche. And we played the song Velveteen. It's a beautiful song. And actually, Rose of Avalanche was one of the promising bands of the early 80s. That was featured also in the classic MTV show 120 Minutes. But somehow, after that period, they sort of dropped out of the memory. I, at least, had completely forgotten about them. And they definitely have not gotten the credits they deserve. And maybe they even deserve credits for a really, really, really big hit.
I would have to agree, Jeroen.
Which was written by another band. And this actually is Guns N' Roses. I made a little, let's call it a mashup of these two songs. So bear with us while we play this for you. This is the song by Rose of Avalanche called Velveteen, and this edition we call Guns N' Roses of Avalanche, and we call the track Velveteen O' Mine, and then you don't have to be very smart to guess which song was inspired by Rose of Avalanche. So we're saying good night and goodbye to you. Thank you. Do check out our website. We have lots of good stuff on there. We've already done many podcasts. We have playlists with over 60 beautiful tracks that we featured in previous podcasts that you can listen to. We also have some interviews in there. It's easy to make sure that you can keep in touch with us. You can send us messages. Do take a look. It's called theinfected.nl. That's where you can find us. That's our dark cave on the web where we hang out upside down. But for now, thanks for listening. And here is Guns N' Roses of Avalanche with Velveteen O' Mine.
The Infected.
Een goedenavond, mijn naam is Tom uit België. Ik wil jullie even laten kennismaken met de Belgische groep Whispering Sons. Dat is een postpunkgroep van eigen bodem, die al opgericht is in 2013. In 2015 brengen ze een EP uit, namelijk Endless Party. In 2016 winnen ze de Humus Rock Rally, wat in België een niet te onderschatten muziekprijs is. In 2018 brengen ze voor het eerste full album uit, Image, waar het nummer Alone op staat. En daarmee hebben ze zelfs de hitlijsten gehaald, wat vrij uniek is hier bij ons. Stem? Wel, ze hebben mijn laatste muziek voor de tweede keer dan verrast, want die stem bleek van een frontvrouw te komen. Ze heet Fanny Cuppins, en ik ben echt niet alleen die tot de vaststelling kwam. Ik heb ze vorig jaar live gezien. Fanny heeft een vrij androgyne uitstraling, energiek is ze en bijna altijd in het wit gekleed. Wat een duidelijk contrast is met de andere muzikanten. Nu, de andere muzikanten moeten zeker niet onderdoen, want die kunnen echt ook wel heel goed spelen. En de ganse groep nemen je echt bij de keel. Dus je zult zeker niet ontevreden naar huis gaan mocht je ze live zien. Ik zou zo zeggen, luister even naar en laat je er maar aangenaam verrassen, zoals ze mee hebben verrast.
Hey, super gaaf om een aankondiging te hebben van iemand die zo enthousiast is dat hij mooie muziek met ons wil delen. En dan ook nog uit het verre België. Ik hoop dat iedereen het goed kon verstaan. Ik heb zelf een aantal jaren in België gewoond. En dit is West-Vlaams. Dat is zelfs voor Vlamingen vaak nog wel moeilijk te verstaan. Maar ik vond het super gaaf om zijn enthousiasme te horen. En om deze exotische aanprijzing van de Whispering Suns mee te krijgen. Want ik vind het een topband. Ik vond het echt een lekker nummer. Ik had inderdaad ook niet door. Hadden jullie dat door, dat degene die zingt, dat het dus een dame is?
Holy shit, nee. Ik had ten eerste niet per se door dat het Belgisch was. Wel enigszins Europees, maar nee, dat had ik niet door.
En jongens, wat vonden jullie van de Whispering Suns?
Ja, ik vind het lekker.
Ik vond het ook lekker, ja. En jij vroeg of jij hoorde dat het een dame was die zang. Nee, ik hoorde dat zeker niet. En ik ben blij met de tip, want ik heb hem gelijk even toegevoegd aan mijn Shit I Like playlist. Dus Tom, dank je.
Het is te hopen dat de grenzen niet alleen weer open gaan binnenkort, maar dat er ook weer eens wat samenscholingen met medevleermuizen mogelijk worden. En dat deze band dan het toerpad weer opgaat. Want je hebt van België naar Nederland, dat moet toch te doen zijn. En ik vond op zich, als je deze act hoort, dat moet toch Paradiso waardig zijn.
Nou, minstens. Minstens. Jan Willem, wij hebben in Paradiso wel eens wat minder gehoord toen met Sisters of Mercy, weet je nog wel?
Ja, dat weet ik. Jij vertrok voortijdig, dat kan ik me nog herinneren, die avond. Ja. En ik heb het iets langer volgehouden, volgens mij anderhalf nummer. En dat was bij mij ook redelijk klaar.
Holy shit. Heb ik jou daar alleen achtergelaten of heb jij mij laten gaan?
Ja, serieus. We hebben het nooit meer over gehad, maar jij draaide je bijna letterlijk gewoon om en zei ik ga nu weg of zoiets. En vervolgens stond ik daar alleen op het balkon volgens mij zelfs nog. Of tenminste, boven waren we. En jij...
Sorry. En jij... Ik weet dat ik echt een rare mogol ben. Echt waar, Jan Willem. Maar dit vond ik wel heel kut om te horen.
Ik dacht dat je zo klaar was met het concert dat je het echt wel niet trok. Maar
dat was ik ook. Maar dat ik zo abrupt van jou afscheid genomen heb, dat stuit me. Dat vind ik wel.
Maar ik vond dat niet zo'n probleem.
Oh, sorry. Ja. Goed dat je het even zegt.
En deel met alle luisteraars. Ja.
Ik was me daar niet van bewust.
Ja, precies. Het was gewoon een heel slecht concert. Volgens mij hebben we het al een keertje eerder over gehad. Ja. Maar het gekke is, het hoeft niet, weet je wel. Waar Gary Newman, waar ik dat concert ook was, en dat zijn een beetje generatiegenoten, die doet het gewoon goed. Weet je, die pakt dat goed aan, die maakt van zijn zwakte zijn kracht en andersom. Terwijl Sisters of Mercy had twee van die jonge gasten links en rechts van hem staan.
Ja, klopt, met een drumcomputer of een laptop of zo.
Het was gewoon nep. En hij zingt gewoon niet goed. Ja. Hij kon het al niet echt goed, Andrew Eldritch. En ik moet zeggen dat ik dat wel een beetje terug hoor in deze band ook. In dat Whispering Suns. Het klinkt een beetje dat gedreven Andrew Eldritch-achtige zingen. En als dat dan ook nog een zangeres is, dat vind ik wel redelijk bijzonder.